Wake up, Coastal Carolina. Wake up. This is your CCTA Wake Up Call.
Produced by the Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization dedicated to the preservation of the U.S. Constitution, free enterprise, and individual liberty.
Hello, Coastal Carolina, and welcome to CCTA Wake Up Call. I'm your host, Rick Hopkins, and I want to thank you for tuning in again this week. We've got our normal crew with us today. It's grown back to larger size because we've got some folks returning from sickness. We've got Bob and Mary Griswold.
Hello.
Hello.
We've got Pete Benton.
Good evening.
We've got Doug Gould.
Hey. Hello.
We've got Howard Rainer back with us now.
Hey, it's good to be back.
I'm into that.
And we've got Melissa with us.
Hello.
And we have a special guest speaker tonight, and that is Pastor Bennett Holloway from Temple Church here in New Bern, North Carolina. Bennett is the executive pastor at Temple, and he's been working with me on trying to get a men's fellowship conference together with guest speaker Mark Robinson. So we're going to have Bennett tell us about that event. Well, Bennett, go ahead and tell us what your vision of the event is.
Yeah, thank you, Rick. I'm excited to be here. I did a little bit of research by listening to previous week's broadcasts. And although I don't feel as equipped sitting at this table, I'm excited and honored to be here. And the heart behind this conference is called the Kingdom Men's Conference at Temple Church. And the reason why we want, and the reason why we're thankful that Mark Robinson's able to join us that night in person, is the fact that we believe that as men of God with dual citizenship, we have a responsibility in our home, in our marriages, and in our community to be a light in the darkness. And so Mark is going to be bringing the heat. We are excited to have him and listen to what the Lord has to speak through him. And we're excited for any men that feel like being challenged and united to join us on February 18th at Temple Church.
Well, just out of curiosity, what made you select Mark Robinson as the speaker?
His unapologetically unfiltered God-given word that he speaks in confidence.
Hear, hear.
Surely that's it.
And I have been to many of his events, and he never has notes. Never notes. He always speaks from the heart. It always comes straight out of his heart.
You know, he got famous for the speech he made in Greensboro protecting the Second Amendment. And I thought maybe he was a one-note singer there for a while. But boy, he's not. I mean, I've heard him talk on history of all kinds, and he has a marvelous knowledge of history and the founders.
He does. I've heard him talk on all ranges of history,
sure,
from the beginning of time right on up till now, and he's well-versed in all of it.
And he's also very unapologetic about speaking up to clean up what we're teaching in schools.
Mm-hmm.
He is going for the throat, and I am very, very happy for that.
Absolutely. He is really working with the education aspects of the public school system here in North Carolina.
Another thing he's done is Second Amendment rights. He did a program for CCTA a while back, very pro-Second Amendment, and he took a very interesting approach to me, and that was he took a history of removal of weapons from the populace on several continents over several centuries and made it perfectly clear that that is the beginning of the end. It winds up in mass murders when people do not have a way to defend themselves against individual people or rogue governments.
Right. Well, Bennett, let's talk a little bit about your men's conference and your topic on godly men.
Hmm.
You don't appear to be anywhere near as old as I am. So I can remember back when men were men, and we didn't have any gender confusion. I mean, we knew when we saw them, we knew they were men.
Yeah.
And tell us a little bit about, you know, where you think men in today's society are at and where you think they need to be.
Well, I'll speak in generalities because I can't speak for my age demographic, but I'm 33 and I recognize that the view I have isn't held across the board, but I've got a lot of friends and a lot of people that I've brushed shoulders with throughout growing up and stepping into the world that share a level of both frustration and clarity and don't quite understand the level of confusion that's out there. So let me just speak very clearly. I believe that God created man in his image, and I believe as man and woman that we have specific, unique, God-given roles and responsibilities and giftings that God wants to use us and work through. I believe that God clearly defined and established what it means to be a family, and he defined and established what it means to have a union of marriage. That covenant that was created by him, established in the beginning, is one that we respect and recognize today. So although the context of our world and the information that's being given is continued to be portrayed as gray or foggy or hazy, from my perspective, it's very clear and it's defined. So I think that the reality is that men have a specific responsibility and a God-given opportunity to have a drastic impact on the next generation. If I sit down and I think about my grandfather and my father and now me as a father, I see a drastic difference in what it means to be a dad. Right? My grandfather's, the way that he fathered was easily interpreted as too harsh, it wasn't relational in any capacity. He didn't disciple, he corrected. And so the pendulum swung in the opposite direction, which inevitably led to a disconnect, and then now for my generation, a lot of confusion.
Yeah.
Right? As the role of the man, as the role of the father. And the only thing I can do and the only thing I work towards and I encourage other people to do is look to how God is a father to his chosen people in the Bible, how Christ exemplified what it means to be loving yet correct people in the Word, and try to exemplify that as we disciple the next generation, our children, today. So from my perspective, across the board, we're struggling with defining what we believe and where we need to stand. And because of that, we ebb and flow with the information that's being shoved in our face. And so there's a lot of confusion.
Well, that's a very good description. It goes along with the statistic I've recently seen. It appears that a lot of our younger generation now strives to be more like their grandparents and their parents. And that's because they see those qualities in their grandparents that was lost generationally, as you said, as the pendulum swung.
Yes, sir.
And now they're wanting to be more like their grandparents' generation. And that, right. To me, that's a good thing.
Right.
Ben, I hope this doesn't sound argumentative, but in the modern world, a lot of families, the mother, the wife, have to go to work to help provide the things that they want to have and they want to provide for their children and the way they want their children to be educated and that sort of thing. Do you have any problem with that concept?
Oh, not at all. I believe that the care structure today is a lot more complex now as well because of the number of fathers that either have abandoned their position as dad, as provider.
I think we would all agree that's wrong.
Right. And so the increased level of dependence on mothers to take on the role of provider along with the role of mother and discipler has increased. So no, from my perspective, I do not see an issue with that.
Good.
And I do recognize, though, that it's difficult. It's difficult.
You know, as a CCTA, as a constitutionally based organization, and again, we're not essentially religiously based,
right.
But we are we are
our values align with the values of our founding fathers, which were.
And it's funny, I'm going back to the quote from John Adams: "Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any others."
Right.
And we're in that situation now where we need to have the men. Pardon my French, belly up to the bar to be men.
Well put, Bob. You don't have any problem going back and reading history and looking through history, understanding that we were founded on biblical principles. We are a Judeo-Christian nation.
One ancillary comment to that. Our first chairman, Michael Speciale, made the comment one time, "Our Constitution is relatively short because we've got the Bible."
Right. Well, not to be like Hal, because I do not mind being argumentative.
Touché.
It's not, in my opinion, now going back in time, we're where we're at today not because women have to go to work. They may now, because of the situation, have no other choice. But somewhere in the past, that was a choice that people made, mainly after the war, when this country became so prosperous, and everybody concentrated on keeping up with the Joneses. And in order to keep up with the Joneses, in order to have two cars in the driveway, in order to have all the luxuries of life, that's what required women to leave the home and go into the job market. Before that, the mothers stayed home and they mothered their children. Unfortunately, when we got in that position where they had to go to work to keep up with the Joneses, then our kids were delegated over to another authority, and that was the public school system. You packed them up, you sent them off, and that was somebody else's responsibility. When they got out of school, it may have been a daycare center or whatever. But, those are choices that historically families made. And unfortunately, nowadays, we find ourselves trapped in that position. If you're gonna maintain the lifestyle that people live nowadays, you've got to usually have both members working.
There's also the matter that sometime in the 70s, because of what was going on with the income tax structure, women went to work because their take-home pay of their husbands had decreased because of what was taken out of it. And what happened then was what developed was the daycare industry. Mm-hmm. And what used to be someone, your neighbor, who would say, "Well, I'll watch your kids till you get home from work," or "I'll send your kids off in the morning for you," or for $5 a week or something, became an industry. And at that point, it became an acceptable thing to have someone else raise your children.
Right. Well, we've got to take a short break here to hear from our sponsors. When we come back, we'll continue this conversation. Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out RightWingGranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to RightWingGranny.com.
The God and Country Christian Alliance has a simple mission, but it is a profound one. They want to inform and educate the public on issues of moral and political concern. They want to restore the Judeo-Christian values upon which this nation was founded to all levels of government. And they want to encourage and activate pro-family voters. Simple, but not easy. The God and Country Christian Alliance meets the third Monday of every month at Moore's Barbecue on MLK in New Bern. Meetings begin promptly at 7 p.m. and end by 8:30. To enjoy dinner with the group before the meeting, arrive between 6 and 6:30. Both the food and the company are good. Meetings include speakers and discussion, and their annual banquets are legendary. Join them on the third Monday of each month for a refreshingly candid view of the world and our place in it.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military, just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government, to protect individual liberty, and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern to enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Well, again, our guest this evening is Bennett Holloway, Executive Pastor at Temple Church here in New Bern, North Carolina. And Melissa, you had some input.
I have a question for you. I want to take you way back to the beginning of the show. Mm-hmm. You said that men are dual citizenship. Can you explain that to me?
Well, I think as a believer in Jesus Christ, you recognize that you have you are now a child of God, and so when we look in Scripture and we look at the ministry that Jesus Christ began, he said the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and so he began extending the dominion of God on earth. So in order to have a kingdom, you have to have a king. And God is reigning as the king as Jesus Christ was developing disciples, sending disciples, establishing the church, bringing people back into an actual relationship with God that is built on grace, that is a covenant that will last for forever. And as he ascended, he sent the Holy Spirit, and we continue to operate empowered to expand his kingdom. So we have that. We have a heavenly citizenship to the kingdom of God. But we also, as citizens of this beautiful country, we have a responsibility here as well.
Right.
And so when I talk about dual citizenship, I'm talking about balancing the God-given citizenship that we have as believers in Jesus Christ, expanding his kingdom here on earth, but also as a citizen of this country.
When you had said that, it kind of brought back to me the other day something that one of the scripture readers said online that really helped me out, because, you know, we've all looked at each other and said, are we living in an alternate reality? Like, is this, do they honestly not live on this earth? And I tell my dad all the time, I feel like I'm going crazy sometimes, that, you know, I'm not of this world. And the scripture came out, the scripture reader came out and said, because you're not of this world, and we are of the kingdom of God. And it just made me feel so much like, you know what, you're right. I'm not supposed to be living to be comfortable and happy in this world. I'm supposed to be living for God.
You're a sojourner.
Right,
you're here
exactly.
For a season, but you belong there.
Exactly. And that, I think that was just when you said that dual citizenship, that just brought that back.
Bring her.
This is not as heavenly as the previous discussion. We were talking earlier about patterns and the way women going back to work and patterns and who parented the children and so on. And I've seen a lot of families making juggling in a way that worked for them. It's not one size fits all. When Hal and I were coming along, we were in college together, and I had a full-time job during the day, took classes at night. The reverse was true for Hal. When I got pregnant with our first child, and my plan was to go back to work. That little rascal was born, and there was no way I was leaving him to the care of somebody else. Hal said, we'll make it on my part-time job. It's only 6 months till I graduate. So we did that. I stayed home for 8 years until both boys were in school, and then Hal was starting a business, so I helped him with his business, but I raced the school bus home. By the time the boys got home, I was home. So it was a kind of a hybrid, and I've seen lots of other people do hybrids too, where they were hands-on parents, but they also help fill in some of the other gaps. So there's more than one way to skin a cat.
Right, and I think you Definitely. Started seeing a lot of that in your generation. If you go back to previous generations, you didn't see so much of that.
My mom did it. Very similarly. She was a dental hygienist and worked for her uncle. And she stopped when I was born and my brother. And then when we got into school, she went back to work. Mm. And it was a very similar pattern.
Thank you, Rick. Bennett, to your particular point, what you talked about faith, about morals and values and principles, and Bob, I'm going to relate to your point as well. John Adams, he was certainly one of my, John Adams, James Madison, Thomas Jefferson, Ben Franklin. I'm a political scientist by training, but I think one of the most important things to understand is in the formation, this country was first born, we were founded on Judeo-Christian values. Jamestown, 1607, when they came over to escape religious persecution, to live as free men and free women, to worship God as they saw fit. Interesting footnote about the Second Amendment we talked about. When the British generals landed in the 1700s, the first thing they instructed their troops to do was go to the armories and take their guns so they couldn't defend themselves. The beauty of America is that all men are created equal in the eyes of God. And John Adams once made a quote, and I really, really, it's very touching. When considering men for high public office, pick men of high moral character, faith. What two particular things were absolutely critical to the genesis and the formation of the Declaration of Independence and the Bill of Rights, the preamble? It was the Holy Bible and the Ten Commandments. Hmm. Out of the 55 men who signed the Declaration of Independence, 29 fought in the Revolutionary War. They knew the price of freedom and they were prepared to sacrifice. Mary, you brought up another interesting point about the phenomenon that's happened over the years. I've been doing some research on the 10 planks of the Communist Manifesto, 1848, Frederick Engels and also Karl Marx. Interestingly enough, number 8 is equal obligation of all to work, establishment of industrial armies, especially for agriculture. We call it the Social Security Administration and the Department of Labor. The national debt and inflation caused by communal bank has created the need for a two-income family. Women have left their place in the home to get out and try to keep up with the Joneses. And that in particular has become troublesome to me. I think I respect and admire the women who stay at home and take care of the children. Years ago, a dear friend of mine called me, and he was at Pope Air Force Base, and they had it was the 50th anniversary of the Air Force. It was, I think, 40th anniversary, 1987. Glenn Campbell was one of the guest artists down there at Pope Air Force Base. He sang a song that has resonated with my heart. It's called "The Hand That Rocks the Cradle Rules the World."
Right.
Next to the love of God for his children and his people, the second most powerful force in all the world is love. Well, is Pete, the mother's love for her children.
I'm asking you to pause right there because that sound of freedom is flying overhead.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
Would you like like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutritional consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
The County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news, coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Well, sorry for the interruption with the sound of freedom, but we wouldn't want to do without that. And Pete, I'm sorry it kind of overrode you there at the end.
That's okay.
I think we got all of it in there. Talking about the hand that rocks the cradle, I agree with that.
Yeah.
A lot of times when you approach this topic, you can get into some rough waters because some people think you're anti-woman or
sexist.
Yeah, sexist, whatever. And that's not the point at all, to clarify what I was saying. In previous generations, The hand did rock the cradle.
Sure.
The mom stayed at home, took care of the kids. And that doesn't downplay the role of the woman. Matter of fact, to me, that's the most important role. But it didn't mean that women weren't capable of doing anything else that they needed to do. And that was proven during the war when all the men were overseas fighting and the women stepped up to the plate.
Yes.
And went into the factories.
Rose
and helped us.
Right. That's exactly who
I was
thinking of.
So it's not it can be twisted any way you want to twist it, but it's not really a push against women.
Yeah.
It's just saying that in previous generations, their role was a little different than what the role is nowadays.
I've actually had both roles, when I was a young woman and first getting married, and we had our children very young.
You mean you're not a young woman anymore?
I mean, when I was like young, younger than I am now. And I was very ambitious and motivated to go in the workforce. And I managed some stores and quickly moved up the ladder and was doing things where I was traveling all over the state and spending time away from my kids. And I would, on my days off and weekends, would just pack in every single thing I could to be there with my kids. And I would time my vacations and days off and things so I could always be on the field trips and things like that. I got injured and was forced to let go of my career when my children were still relatively young, and am so thankful that God made me fall off that ladder, that I had that with my kids. I would not trade that connection and that job that I had with my kids for anything else in this world for any type of job. That was incredibly important to me.
One thing that that I love about that, from when you fell off the ladder and it made you stay at home and it made you realize what you were missing, was what this pandemic, a blessing that it has had in the home. Because all of a sudden, when things were shutting down and people began to draw in close, I wasn't leaving the role of father to go into the office. I was working as a pastor in the house and as a father simultaneously. And something that I began to recognize, one, is the value and the impact my wife was having in the home as she's like pouring into these children. But also, it reminded me of something that was very easy for me to forget, is the pleasure and the honor that it is to be with my child throughout the day and to pour into my child and disciple him in that way. So that's been a beautiful blessing that I've learned throughout this as well.
There's another aspect. There was actually a positive aspect of the shutdown, and that is that parents became aware of what their children were being taught in school.
Right.
Yes.
And
right.
They had their eyes opened. And I don't think, I mean, I remember back in the age of dinosaurs when my kids were in school, that you could go into the classroom and you could just sit in the back of the room and see what was being taught. Evidently, that is not the case anymore.
Well, now, it was during the pandemic when they were bringing it via the television.
Into yeah. your living room.
But evidently, that is not
physically
normal.
Going.
Physically
yeah.
going is
yeah.
not
That's
normal
how parents found
anymore.
Out what was going on. Okay, as host of the show, it is my responsibility to keep us on track. And somehow, we left the role of the man and ended up into the role
talking
of
talking about the women.
Yeah.
We are really good at that.
Yeah. So we're going to get back on target and talk about the men's conference coming up with Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson. Mark Robinson, you know, Bennett, was not a politician. He was working in a furniture factory at the time. He decided to pick up and pursue a career not in politics, but in what he could offer the government, our government.
State.
In changing the world,
right.
I think is what his mission is.
He saw things that weren't kosher with his beliefs and upbringing, and he felt like he could make a positive impact. So what role do you see of Christian men in government today?
Well, this is beautiful. And correct me if I'm wrong on this, but the way that our country was created and established wasn't created for the sake of developing political careers. It was men that were business owners, landowners, people that created commerce where they were located, and then gave and sacrificed for the role of
serving
the people that they were representing, right?
Yes.
They had been
yes.
successful in whatever they were pursuing.
Right. And so what I love about Mark's story is he's not coming in to make his name more known. He's stepping in because he's elected because he's representing a group of people that have said, that's enough, and we're done giving ground. And so what I like about Mark is his passion and his fire, but what we can learn from Mark as honestly men or women is the impact that believers in Jesus Christ, the impact that people that are aligned with limiting government and empowering people, right, to have a voice to vote and to step up and make a difference, Mark's the epitome of that example.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And like you said, he didn't do this to make his name more known. He did that when he stood up at the meeting in Winston-Salem.
Greensboro.
You know, right?
And
I am the majority.
he gave his little dissertation on the Second Amendment.
Yeah.
And they were trying to take away that right there. And at the time, he didn't even own a firearm. So he wasn't standing up for his right to keep his weapon or to, you know, have a weapon. He was standing up for all of our rights, our God-given rights to be able to defend ourselves and our families, mm-hmm. you know, so.
I love the way you put that the founding fathers were, you know, they were doing all right at home. They were they were just fine and just comfortable, and they did sacrifice to go serve. And that is wholly missing today. And I do think Mark does bring such a level of service, and we need that more and more instead of self-serving government that we have right now. I do, biggest thing, God being taken out of our government and our schools. And with these school board meetings, watching them online from all across the nation, there's a lot of men standing up, a lot of dads saying this is not going to fly with our household. And so what kind of, you know, with roles like that, that's obviously what they need to be doing. What other kind of things are they going to learn from this conference?
Well, I think ultimately this conference is meant to bring really glory to God and point to God. I think ultimately that's it. And what I love about the Holy Spirit is he speaks with clarity and conviction to each one in his personal context. And I think that that people will receive a powerful word from Mark, but also it'll be something that the Lord will be speaking to them to step up in. So like we've said, nothing is a one-size-fits-all, and there's going to be an eclectic group of people in that worship center. Hopefully that'll be empowered to do a large variety of things that make an impact both locally, statewide, and nationally if they feel led.
That's awesome.
I want to go back to what Bennett said about our founding fathers and the fact that career politicians were not part of their plan. And I think one of the best examples of how far we've fallen was a couple of years after he left the Senate, George McGovern opened a bed and breakfast in Connecticut. It failed. He wrote an article for Forbes magazine. And you can still find the article. You have to look a little, but you can still find it, where he essentially said, if I had understood the impact of the laws I was passing on businesses, I would not have passed them. Now, admittedly, it was 50 years too late, but at least he came to the conclusion.
I wanted to add to what Bennett said about the founders being people who came to serve. They thought it was their obligation as a good citizen to come and serve the other citizens of the country for a period of time. For instance, George Washington said a couple of terms was enough. He'd go back home to Mount Vernon and be happy. So another thing is, to add to what Pete had to say about the founders, a lot of them did fight in the Revolutionary War. And also a lot of them were clergymen. And I think that gets overlooked too. Because, you know, God and the Bible and Arab nation founding go hand in glove.
The Black Robe Regiment had a lot to do with the direction our country went in from the beginning. Pete, I think you were next.
Yeah, an interesting footnote to that about our founding fathers is what people don't realize or appreciate was they put it all on the line. I will pledge my honor, everything that I own to fight for my God and for my country, okay? Mm-hmm. And If you understand your history, does anyone have any idea what the national debt was after the Revolutionary War? Any thoughts? $75 million.
It wasn't 30 trillion, I know that.
$75 million we're in debt. You know who loaned us the money? The French and the Dutch. Every one of our founding fathers and the founding mothers, they suffered. Even after we won the war and we were declared an independent nation, the British came back and punished everyone. They lost their farms, their fortunes. So much they sacrificed. As Christian men, to your point, I'm in two Bible studies in Moorhead City, Carteret County. And I think it's imperative that all Christian men and women, in particular men, were called to serve God. That's our meaning and purpose.
All right.
We're here to serve God. Secondly, we're here to sacrifice our pleasures, our wants, our desires for the glory of God and our nation.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because that's where I was going next with Bennett is I have been in churches, several churches, but the one I was in for the longest period of time, over 17 and a half years, the reason I left there is because I kept being told that politics didn't belong in church. And I said, well, I agree with you, but church belongs in politics.
Mm. Yes, it's good.
We were having debates, and we had to vote on the marriage amendment. Mm-hmm. And I could not understand why that was controversial in the church, but to some people it was, because I asked to be able to put a sign on each corner to vote for the marriage amendment. And some of the people, even some of the deacons, had a problem with that. And then the next thing was the voter ID law. So I stand by mine. The church does belong in politics. You know, one of the biggest harms that's happened to us is when the government passed the Johnson Amendment, and they got that grip on the pastors, that fear over them about talking about politics in the church, when that wasn't it at all. It's a lie. Ever since the Johnson Amendment, there has not been one pastor prosecuted for talking about politics in his church. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What it forbids you from doing is endorsing a candidate from the pulpit.
Right.
You can talk about politics all you want to. You can talk about the role of men and women in our government, mm-hmm. and how the church should be involved, because if you're not electing godly leaders,
right.
you're going to get what we got today.
We're not going to have a godly country.
Right. And that's why we're where we're at today.
Interesting footnote comparing a democracy to communism. You know what's one of the major differences between a constitutional republic, which we are, and a democracy, versus communism? In communism, they drive out faith. They're atheists. They don't believe in God. In a democracy, we acknowledge God as the Holy Father. There's a major distinction there. Another interesting footnote to you, Mary, they want to destroy the family.
Yes.
They absolutely want to destroy, because the family is the foundational cornerstone, you know, of a great society. I served in the military for 33 years. 11 years ago, I walked the shores of Normandy with my wife. My uncle earned the Bronze Star for Valor at the Battle of the Bulge, okay? It became very, very real for me to walk those shores to realize June the 6th, 1944, almost 10,000 men gave their lives to free a continent. They asked one man, they said, well, how did it feel that when you came to this continent and what you did? He said, I only brought light to darkness.
Absolutely. Well, this is a good place to take another break real quick, get that out of the way, and we'll come back and continue this conversation.
Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
Hey folks, here's a tip. When you think firearms and ammo, think E70 Palm. They've been on Highway 70 east of New Bern across from the fairgrounds for 31 years. Drew Preston and his staff know firearms. Gun sales have tripled in under a year, and women shooters are the fastest growing part of their business. Their great inventory, over 300 guns in stock, changes daily. And if you want something they don't have, they'll look for it. New and used, rifles, shotguns, and pistols, buy, sell, or trade. And they also have many holsters, scopes, and other gun accessories. Every member of the staff is deeply knowledgeable, and every one of them is an excellent shooter. So don't just come for the inventory, come for the thoughtful advice. E70 Palm, your home for firearms, ammo, and answers. Highway 70 East, New Bern, across from the fairgrounds.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out RightWingGranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to RightWingGranny.com.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
Would you like to buy a present, be inspired, and have your spirits lifted? It's easy.
just visit Carolina Creations at 317 Pollock Street in downtown New Britain. You'll find an amazing array of gallery-worthy paintings, one-of-a-kind jewelry, pottery, glassware, greeting cards, personal adornments, and all sorts of temptations. Everything is displayed to please the eye. Prices run the gamut from a few dollars to a few thousand dollars. Many items are by local artists and artisans. Carolina Creations has been voted Best Gallery, Best Gift Shop, and Best Jewelry Store by the Sun Journal's readers. Stop in and see why. The friendly, knowledgeable staff will let you browse to your heart's content or swing into helpful mode if that's needed. You'll enjoy a visit to Carolina Creations. That's a promise.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call.
You know what? I need to take issue with my buddy over here. We are not a democracy. We are a constitutional republic with some democratic aspects, but a democracy is mob rule. It is two wolves and a sheep deciding on the luncheon menu. Representative republic protects minority interest, and by that I mean anybody who happens to be in a minority, whether it is rural people versus city people or whatever that happens to be. So I loved everything else you said, but we're no democracy.
Well, our founding fathers also said in the Constitution the rule of minority dissent, that you have the right to speak against the government and your leaders. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, democratus is the rule of the majority. Okay, but the beauty of a constitutional republic is the fact that we also respect those who dissent with us. Conversely, in a communist socialist, criticize your leaders and watch what happens to you.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, now, that's the way it used to be up until this current administration came into office. You are definitely not allowed to criticize here anymore.
No.
Our First Amendment rights, our freedom of speech are being quickly and rapidly.
But some of us are doing it anyway.
Absolutely. I understand that. But it's communism creeping in.
Yes.
Is what it is.
Yes.
There's a quote in this week's County Compass. It's easy to be a communist in a free country. Try to be free in a communist country.
Absolutely, I agree with that.
That's a good one. What were you saying about the communism and the atheism? I mean, we are seeing that
big time.
And, you know, as young as I am, I do remember that. It is not that funny, Rainer.
Yes, it is.
I remember the saying, you know, the Pledge of Allegiance and understanding, you know, that saying prayer at our lunchtime and things like that, and understanding what God meant in our country. And now, you know, that's not going to happen. That's not allowed. It has all been taken out. And I think I know for a fact that that has a huge part to do with our men growing up. And what you were saying about how grandfathers, they weren't connecting, they were more a rural, you know, it's my way or the highway, this is how we do it, and you did it that way, and there are merits to that, but I also understand what you're talking about, the connection, and that teaching them about God and the godly, the biblical way of being a father, and that's not there anymore, it's not in society anymore, we don't have that connection for other men teaching men, which is why I think something like this conference is huge, for these men to get together and teach each other and help each other to raise up these young men to be fathers again.
So I think as masculinity in the culture is diluted,
right?
So as that happens, what I think is important to recognize is the greatest man that ever walked the earth was Jesus Christ.
Yes.
I think he is the perfect example of something that we as men should aspire to look like and act like. He was sensitive. He emoted well, but he also flipped tables and he cracked whips, right? And he was very clear. And when he spoke, he said, sin no more. But when he embraced, he hugged those that were rejected by culture and society. So I think that if there's any confusion as to who we look at, I would look at the person of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and I would research yourself. Right? I think that's a big thing here. Instead of being spoon-fed what other people say you should think, I think each of us should own the responsibility of what we believe and the foundation of where we stand, and we should look into the Word of God and then learn how Christ operated and try to apply that as a man today.
Doug, you hadn't had a chance yet.
Yes, it brings me back to a couple of points. You know, we've talked about how freedom of speech is going away. We've talked about how churches aren't allowed to talk about political candidates in the pulpit and so forth. And it made me think back on revolutionary times. Now, for those of you who weren't alive then, you may not realize.
I didn't know you were that old.
It made me realize that there weren't televisions back then. There weren't radios back then. In fact, we had something called the Pony Express. We had riders that would get on a horse and go from town to town to spread news. Where did you get your information? In church. The churches were the meeting places of the community.
And it wasn't instant.
No, it wasn't.
It might have happened 3 months ago.
So today what we're seeing is a loss of the communication that we've built up so much. And it strikes me in the face that the churches now have a role to resume that principal communicator role in society. Mm-hmm. And it's something that has faded away throughout my lifetime, and it's time for it to come back, and I'm really excited about the conference.
I totally agree that we are seeing, well, I'll compare it, church and schools. We're seeing schools breaking up. We're seeing branches of schools starting. We are seeing homeschooling like mad because people just are not happy with what's going on. But another thing we're seeing is, I think every single one of us around this table is a member of a Bible study, but we're all members of different Bible studies, right? Mm. And, we have one that's just our family that we, do our Bible study with. And we all do that. It's important. We have to do that. But also, a church is so important to our community.
Yes.
And if we do not bring it together under a church, and I know I have had issues with a church that really hurt and really, made me not want to go back and commit myself to being another member. But at the same time, I understand how important community of church is to bring us all together so that we are a godly country again and not this atheist mess that we're seeing right now.
To your point, thank you so much. I'm going to quote my former boss, Ronald Reagan. There are those who read Marx and there are those who understand Marx. Okay. If America ever turns her back on God, she will be a nation gone under.
Absolutely.
All right.
Well, we're going to have to wrap up here a little bit. But going back to the grandfather and the great grandfather, back in those times, life was difficult. It was a fight for survival in most cases, and every member of the family had a role to play, and they were depended on. And usually their day started in the Bible.
Yes.
They started in Scripture and ended in Scripture, and that was their guiding light. That's how they made it through the day. And families gathered together supported each other. If the neighbor's barn burned down, the whole community went and helped rebuild that. You don't see a whole lot of that nowadays. Of course, we don't burn our barns down anymore either. So, anyway,
most of us don't even need barns.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit more about your event, Bennett. Tell us again when it is.
It's on February 18th. We've got a steak dinner at 5:30. But if you specifically just want to come to the event, it starts at 7 o'clock. And so the big challenge that I would give you is the impact that that other people have in your life is dependent on the authority that you give it. So if someone is speaking lies over you, or if a news company is speaking false information, or you are entertaining pain or trauma from your past, it has the authority that you give it. And so does the Word of God. So if you start and you end your day giving that your authority, giving that the authority, then it will have its authority on you and over you.
Absolutely.
So I challenge you to come on February 18th and give that evening To be able to be impacted by God and leave on fire for Him.
Okay, now this is a ticketed event because yes, you're having a steak dinner. Yes, and tell us what the about.
So the ticket price is $25 for the catered steak dinner at 5:30, but just the event is $15 upon entry.
And where can you get tickets?
You can get tickets at temple.church/events. And you'll see Mark Robinson's beautiful face right there on the landing page.
All right. Anything else you care to tell us about it?
No, I just thank you so much for letting me be here.
Well, we're glad to have you. We've enjoyed the conversation and hope to have you back again sometime in the future. There's so much we can talk about on these topics, and you don't hear enough about it nowadays. You know, we're right now, we're in the middle of a battle of good and evil. It's a spiritual battle. It's not right versus left or Republicans versus Democrats. It's a spiritual battle, good versus evil, light versus darkness. And, you know, so many people have been pushed into fear. They've locked their faith in the closet, and they're living on fear. And this fear is being mandated and pushed by our government and by our media. And if you'll go get your faith out of the closet and put the fear in there, I think you'll find that a lot of this stuff will go away. You'll be a lot happier and a lot healthier. And I don't think we'll ever get back to what we consider normal.
You don't?
No. Too much damage has been done. Things are going to have to change, and some of it's going to be good change. Mm-hmm. Our economic system, you know, some of the laws, and there's going to be some good changes, but there's going to be some painful ones too, some painful times. We'll have a new normal, but I don't think I want to go back to what was normal prior to this. But anyway, it's time for us to wrap the show up. I want to tell you real quick about our public meeting for the month of February. It's the third Tuesday of the month at Stanley Hall Ballroom downtown New Bern at 7 p.m. And the topic is going to be on the sex ed they're teaching in our school systems in public school. Folks, you don't want to miss this one. You don't know exactly what your kids are being taught, but some of it will be exposed at this meeting. We have Dr. Alan Harrop and his wife, Mary, and we have Glenn Fink are going to be presenting some information to you on that. And we hope you'll come out and join us, get to meet us, and become a part of CCTA. And that's all the time we have for today's show. Thank you for tuning in, and please come back and join us again next week.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, Wellness Educator and Nutritional Consultant at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.